John Batchelor. This is the New World Report with Professor Evan Ellis of the U.S. Army War College Strategic Studies Institute. Evan is just back from the continent of South America. He was in Peru. We turn our attention, however, to what momentarily looks like good news in South America. It's not all gloom. Ecuador's government and indigenous leaders reach agreement. This is a Reuters headline within these last hours. I read from Quito, the capital of Ecuador. Ecuador's government and indigenous groups leaders reached an agreement to end more than 2 weeks of protests against the social and economic policies of President Lasso, which at least left at least eight dead, according to indigenous leaders. Protests organized by indigenous organization CONAIE, CONE, erupted across Ecuador in the middle of June, with demonstrators demanding lower fuel prices and limits to further expansion of mining and oil industries. I'll stop there, Evan, because what's keen to me on this, there's worldwide inflation, and Ecuador and Peru and Brazil, everyone's suffering from it. So that is not unique to Ecuador. What is striking to me is these are the indigenous people of Ecuador leading this disruption. And on and off over the last year and a half that I've learned as much as I can from talking to you and other colleagues about Latin America, the indigenous people emerge in different sovereignties, but it's never given any united focus. Indigenous peoples are many different tribal units dating to different periods before the Spanish invasion, before the new prehistoric times. I mean, the continent was heavily peopled before what I understand the pandemics that reduced the population and left isolated indigenous groups. But invariably, we've had indigenous issues in now Ecuador, but also in Chile, where the indigenous peoples challenged the authority of the popularly elected young president, Mr. Boric. We've had indigenous people uprising in Colombia in 2021. And they're always unnamed to me, and I lose track. But is there a general theme for indigenous peoples in Latin America? Do they have a Congress or a legislation policy? Do they meet anywhere to talk about their issues? Because invariably, it's going to come down to the price of food and the price of fuel.
John, you raise a good point. The issue of indigenous peoples in Latin America is one of the foundational issues of Latin American politics, both its history and politics today. There are movements that try to be pan-continental, but they've really been pretty ineffective. It tends to be a country-by-country issue. But there are some common themes. We in the United States, of course, have our own history with numbers of different tribes who, as you know, are very different. If you're looking at indigenous people in New York versus in Arizona. It's something, of course, similar in Latin America. Some of the big civilizations that we know of, the Mayas, the Incas, the Aztecs, but also not unlike in what is now today the U.S., many, many other smaller groupings in history. But in the U.S., where we largely pushed our the indigenous people onto reservations and remained relatively separate, when the Spanish conquistadores and the others arrived at the Portuguese and Brazil, there was, especially on the Spanish side, where it was largely, male conquistadores arriving, people looking to build their fortunes, there was much more of a high rate of intermarriage. And so to this day, what you have is a much more mixed population. In addition to that, you have different stories. In Chile, you had, it was probably the one place with the Mapuche in the south of Chile, which is a very long continent shielded by a mountain range. The Mapuches were never fully conquered. You have other indigenous people with different records. So what we're talking about here in Ecuador is the indigenous. So CONAIE is one organization which basically represents the indigenous in Ecuador. There have long been problems with encroachment of territories that they believe are important to them through people who are looking for money from extractive industries, oil and mining, et cetera. And so, but at the same time, these issues are often involved not only in those types of rights based on their indigenous status, but the indigenous oftentimes become a political organization expressing certain views. So Kwinai, for example, actually at certain points in time, allied against the previous populist Ecuadorian government of Rafael Correa when he wanted to collude with Chinese mining entities in the south in Zamora Chinchipe. And of course, now you find that the indigenous, the leader here in this particular case is Linas Issa. Essentially, they tried to block roads as a way of bringing pressure, trying to bring gas prices down. The high gas prices, which make it very hard for people to move things around on trucks when they have to pay their own fuel. This was the same issue that caused protests in Peru and in Lima and Callao a couple of weeks ago. But it's issues, the same issue that has caused protests in Colombia. It's the same issues that have caused protests over food prices in Honduras and in Guatemala. But in this particular case, it was really three core focus. It was the fuel prices. It was a desire to limit mining, and it was a desire to limit petroleum exploration. And in the end, the government of Guillermo Lasso tried to negotiate with this leader, they had already reduced fuel prices by 10 cents a gallon. They had already offered some concessions on mining subsidies for fertilizers, but that wasn't enough. And so in the end, they did cut a deal. It was a very modest deal. It was an additional 5 cents a gallon gas subsidy, which is almost nothing. It was some commitment to limit future exploration. But at the end of the day, although this is a bit of a good news that at least you get petroleum pumping in Ecuador again, you get this had completely disrupted the supply of food to the northern.
We have 30 seconds, Evan. Go ahead.
So although the arrival of food is flowing again, the arrival of oil will probably be flowing again through the SOTE and OCP pipelines. But the fundamental conflict there in the politics is still ongoing. And this ties into the same type of left-right struggle, especially with Rafael Correa in the background that we see in many other parts of Latin America.
Professor Evan Ellis just returned from Peru, population 33 million. Speaking of Ecuador, population of 17 million. This is the New World Report. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.